ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media station.
Sounds fascinating.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts right now, and this is a warning shot right off the bat for hour number two. All right? We got more of the lap tickets. That's listener appreciation party. Again, after Barry's announcement yesterday that we just don't take kindly to people begging out tickets and asking us for them, I got more, including people that you know well, asking me, hey, you got any more of those tickets?
Really?
Okay, yeah.
People I know.
I just said Barry's are for sale, so hit him up. So here's what we're going to do, just like we did yesterday. So the people listening on the app and the stream have a chance. We will do this at, Barry, you pick a time. You want to do it during this segment or you want to do it next segment?
We'll do it at 2:20.
2:20, caller number 14 at 2:20. And you know what? Wait till we tell you it's 2:20. Don't just start...
Yeah, we're
going to
clear the line.
Ass.
We're going to clear the line and say, all right, now it's 2:20.
Right. So we're going to tell the intern taking the calls at 2:20 when it's time to clear the line, and then we'll start the count. Caller number 14, 713-780-3776 at 2:20. Not now. 2:20 p.m. You'd win two tickets to the listener appreciation party that you don't have to buy from Barry. One prerequisite, you must be 21 or over to attend. It is invitation only, so you can't just show and go. So, again, because we want everybody to have a fair chance, keep an eye on the clock, but wait for our signal to tell you it's time to call.
So, I considered my position on selling the tickets.
Okay.
And I have not changed it.
Beautiful. I love it.
But.
Oh.
Why?
I love it because it's a seller. It's a seller's market.
It is.
So, essentially, if you get all your final bids in and you take what you're taking for all 10 of yours, and I still got all 10 in my back pocket, well. Then I'm in a pretty good position.
So last night, somebody reached out to me. I'm not going to name names, but they're like, hey, man, if you got an extra. And my initial reaction was, because there's been several people that have reached out since then. But I'm glad. I mean, part of me is really excited that people want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how lucky are we? People want to be there. That's awesome. But one of the people that reached out to me has been one of the most supportive people for me, both on the radio and in comedy. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to sell that ticket. That dude has come to so many of my shows and bought tickets. Not just, I don't give them tickets. They've bought tickets. They listen. They buy my merchandise. Like, that's who I want to get my ticket. So I was like, you know what? If you've supported me, there are people. Now, don't everybody just.
So this
like,
means you reconciled with the guy you said to suck his son's D.
No, it wasn't him.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to verify.
Definitely wasn't him. But there are a few folks out there that have been very supportive of me and comedy and everything
but
else.
But I don't need the ticket.
So I'm giving them some tickets.
Good for you.
So I'm not selling them all, but I want those. Those are the folks that I want to get. And I appreciate all the support, whether it is just on the radio or it is both. But if you've come to, like, this one person has come to maybe five or six shows of mine in the last 2 years. That's a lot to go to. They've seen the same jokes or some of the same jokes five or six times, and they still come and they still laugh. And I want that person to get tickets, so.
Nick and I have said nothing about being as selfish as you in selling them.
So. Not that I'm going to not sell some. So you,
okay.
Maybe hold off.
Yeah, so that's what you do.
But, I do want some people to get them. So.
Fair enough.
I did change it a little bit. Anyways, I digress.
Okay. So Texans opened up training camp, and a big surprise, so everybody can take at least half a deep breath. J.J. Watt off the PUP list.
Big
and
surprise?
Participated. No, a lot of people were a little bit panicked. And, of course, the national media was trying to make it a big story that D-Hop and J.J. were on the PUP list to start camp. But before they even get into their first practice, J.J. not only is taken off the PUP, but he practices. D-Hop was there watching the receivers, isn't quite ready yet. But, again, we said both of them are going to be on the field for week one against the Saints unless they get injured during camp. So nothing big to worry about there, but at least nice to know J.J.'s already back practicing.
Yes, very good. And you kind of knew that was going to be the case at some point. Not sure why they decided if it's, I mean, one day, basically.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what's behind all of it, but even JJ said, look, and it didn't hurt that the first day of camp and the weather's just ideal, and he's like, can we just get this the rest of the time? Ideally, everybody would love that, but then we'd be San Diego without the water. Everybody would want to live here.
True.
So, part of dealing with all this is you got to deal with the swamp juice.
But it is good to have him out there, no matter what.
No doubt about it.
Now that puts to bed any concern or which I think most of us realize that was just
a precautionary move
or something like that. But yeah, definitely not a he's actually injured move. Somebody texted and said, how about the Twitch feed? Turn it on, boys.
Is it not on?
Are we not
I
on?
I see we'll be right back.
It's streaming right now.
Okay.
I bet you what they mean is, we check the Twitter.
Oh, for winners for the...
to interact.
No. Yeah, for interaction. Not for winners, but for interaction.
Well, when Aaron was filling in for you, Nick, when you were in Vegas, he was in charge of monitoring the Twitch. I did the text.
Cool.
So we can do... And then until Barry came back, and then Barry did the text. So we can do it however you want.
Yeah, I don't even know how to get to the... I think we tried one time when we were on that other streaming platform.
Based on last night, Nick, don't respond to anybody without checking with us first, at least check them.
I had a feeling there's a reason why he sent us to the Twitch, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Probably like a...
We will see.
A dirty picture waiting on us.
Well,
no, I don't think
I got too much to keep up with as it is. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to keep up with Twitter and the tech lines. If you want to do that, Nicholas?
I'm on it now. I don't see any comments. So,
why are you? Oh, no. I was like, why are you twitching? And I was like, oh, my God.
Because we all should be twitching.
No. Nope.
Video streaming service.
No.
No?
Please don't.
Okay. So,
Did you happen to catch the Rays-Red Sox game last night?
Crazy.
The whole playing under protest thing is going to be interesting how that shakes out. Red Sox finished the game under protest. Alex Cora was not happy with what happened. If you missed it last night, Kevin Cash, manager for the Rays, made a move in the eighth inning. Had a pitcher on the mound. What was his name? Adam Kolarek. Kolarek, yeah. And Kolarek comes in, gets an out, and so he moves the pitcher to first base. First baseman comes out of the game, which was Choi. And then he brings in another pitcher, Rowe, who was brought in to face Mookie Betts. Rowe gets the out. Betts goes back to the dugout. He removes Rowe, puts Kolarek back on the mound, and then puts Nate Lowe back in at first. And Alex Cora is going, what's going on here? You can't do this. Once you lose the DH, that's it. And so there was this big to-do 15-minute delay.
Yep. Oh, man. And guess who was behind the plate?
And guess who's in the middle of all of it?
Angel Hernandez.
And Angel Hernandez is unable to come up with a good enough explanation for Alex Cora. And the rule states that if you want to play a game under protest before the next pitch, you have to state it. So Alex Cora tells Angel Hernandez, fine, I'm not satisfied with the way that you've explained this, because I don't even think Angel Hernandez knew really what was going on.
It's been done in the minor leagues before, and I believe in college.
But once you lose the DH, once you make a move, once you make a pitcher a position player, even if he doesn't replace the DH, you lose the DH. That's the thing.
We always say late inning defensive replacements, especially when you're interleague play. You lose when they take someone out of the DH spot when they're juggling the lineup. Yeah, it's gone.
But in this case, it not replacing we need to make whoever was a DH, putting a pitcher at any position on the field negates the DH in the lineup, even if you don't. If that pitcher's not down, the whole point of the DH is so that the pitcher doesn't have to bat.
Right.
But when you put the pitcher in the field, now the pitcher has to bat, you lose your DH.
Okay.
So that was the point of it. And so Alex Cora decided to play the game under protest. And the stipulation on that is when you file a protest with Major League Baseball, they evaluate. There's been like one.
Well, the one that was overruled was like 86. It was the anniversary the other day. The George Brett home run pine tar game.
Was that in 86?
I believe so. And it was a home run off of Goose Gossage. Brett, if you remember, came out of the dugout charging because he lost his mind because they called him out because the pine tar was too high on the bat. And then after league review, at a later date, they had to come back and play the rest of the game because the protest was actually accepted, and the Royals ended up winning the game. The Brett home run counted, and they ended up winning the game instead of taking the home run away from him.
I thought I read it was about a game where it had something to do.
I don't know if that was the last one. I just know that was one of the only ones that's been a protest.
Well, that wasn't 86, was it?
Oh, yeah.
That was 86?
Yeah, pretty close.
Because
yeah.
I think the 86 one had to do with weather. Like, the umpire called the game too quickly.
Okay.
And so they protested and they made them play the game out. But the whole point about protesting in Major League Baseball is the league evaluates every protest. And if they don't think that whatever it is you're protesting would materially have affected the outcome of the game.
July 24th, 1983.
Okay, so 86 was the weather game. 86 was the weather game. So that was the last one. Mm-hmm. But if the Major League Baseball doesn't feel like that, what the moves that the Rays made materially affected the outcome of the game, then the Red Sox will lose the protest. So it's going to be interesting how baseball interprets this, how the front office and baseball interprets this, and you know, hold on tight because these are division rivals, and every game right now for those guys counts. So it'll be interesting. I just thought, wow, leave it to a team like the Rays, who's seems to be cutting edge on a lot of things. Leave it to them to come out and be in the middle of something crazy like that. Because right now the Red Sox, two out of a wild card with Indians and Athletics, the two wild card teams right now, and the Rays are one game out. You flip-flop that game, that matters. So this is a really – if this was the Red Sox playing the Tigers and the Red Sox were out of it, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But that game was super important for both teams. So it'll be interesting. Baseball,
right.
Probably going to spend some time on
it. Yeah, the last game, St. Louis Cardinals-Pittsburgh Pirates, June 16th, 1986, because of weather.
Ah.
That was one. And then there's – in the history of baseball, six.
Yeah, not
five
many,
or six.
Not many that they'll actually see it through. So,
and one last note from that game, coming out of the game last night, Red Sox Rays. Bad news if you're a Rays fan with the great season that they've been having. But their big time pitcher is going to be put on the shelf. And no, I don't mean Charlie Morton, but Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell undergoing arthroscopic surgery to remove loose body parts in his left elbow.
Bro, I got loose body parts, but it's just all fat.
Yeah, loose body in his left elbow.
Loose body?
I don't know how long he's going to be out, but that according to Josh Tolentino, who covers the Rays.
It's a loss, but it certainly wasn't like he was setting the league on fire this year. He wasn't living up to a Cy Young.
He wasn't what he did a year ago, right?
Yeah. You know what does live up to the hype? Get Upside lives up to the hype. That is for sure. And if you don't know what Get Upside is, or you haven't downloaded it and put it on your phone yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. You need to get after it, though. It's real easy to install. There's no catch. There's no gimmicks. There's no contracts. There's no, if you use it for 30 days, you're going to start paying us. Nope. GetUpside is outstanding because it's just you getting cash back for the stuff you're already paying for, that stuff being gas and food. Now, when you download it, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That'll get you extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. And what I love about GetUpside is that I get to choose. Not only do I get to choose where I go to get the deal, but I get to choose the deal. There are several Shell stations in my area, and all of them have a different deal. There are several Wendy's and Burger Kings around the station, and Popeyes, and there's even Cyclone and I is in the app. But there's all kind of restaurants, and they all offer different stuff. So if I'm feeling like, yeah, maybe I do want a burger today, well, I can look at Burger King and see, you know what, the closest one is only 20%, but this Wendy's that's another block away is offering 25%. I'll just go get that deal. That's how cool this thing is. And what I mean by 25%, let's say you go and you spend 10 bucks at Wendy's and they're offering 25% cash back. You get 250 back through the app. All you do, pay with a debit or credit card and upload your receipt. And if you're sitting there eating and somebody comes up to you and is like, hey, sir, I just wanted you to have this $2.50 for eating here, you would absolutely put that money in your pocket. So don't pass it up. Don't be a dummy. Put GetUpside on your phone right now. Go do it. It takes 2 seconds to do it. Well, not literally 2 seconds, but put it on your phone. Start getting cash back. And make sure you use my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you that extra bump on your first fill up. And then you know what you do? Thank me later.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back wrapping up the first half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio at Gal Media on a Thursday. FEF Friday tomorrow, Barry, comedian of the night, day will be?
It's going to be Robbie Bennett. He's actually a magician and comedian. He's performing this weekend in Galveston. Big, big show. And he's going to join us and talk about the show, and we'll talk about comedy and magic and all that fun stuff. He's going to come in the studio, hang out with us for a segment.
So, Nick, you can get all the...
I hope he can make Nick disappear. That would be pretty cool.
Nick's bumper music. Abracadabra, Steve Miller band. You can
don't
do magic.
Don't embarrass me, boys. Don't embarrass me.
You can do magic.
I always worry about bringing in guys because I know Joel will be like, you're either going to make it awkward... Or you'll
you can
do
pull
stuff.
A rabbit out of a hat. Can you make Barry disappear?
Or Joel will do the old, like, he'll stand up and do the old, take his pockets out and be like, you ever kissed a rabbit between his ears? That's not good. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's not nice.
So you're going to be upbeat, but you're not going to change who you are, is what you're saying.
What? No. What are you talking about? Look at Sassy Joel. Sassy Joel.
You want to explain to the peeps what happened now that you've already run through the listener appreciation?
What? Yeah, it's done. It's 220. It's 222 now.
It's a wrap. I think they
have
get
a winner?
I believe so.
Good. Because Titan Hugo had a point on the text line. He goes, bro, if we have to wait for you to announce it, what's the point? Because we're 3 minutes behind on the stream. So if you say 220, we're all calling it 220. That makes good sense. So... Did we get a winner? Okay, cool. We got a winner. That's all I care about. I mean, really?
Dude, I'm just looking out for the peeps and trying to find out the information on the fly you never gave me about how you wanted to rechange how we were going to do this. So I'm just trying to follow directions I never received.
When have we ever planned anything on the show? Okay?
We've planned quite a bit.
I know. Just
Nick plans your demise every day.
Every day. That's why I'm bringing in a magician. Maybe he can.
This dude's gonna be like Doug Henning, all buck tooth with a big mustache.
No, Robbie's a cool dude, man. Robbie's a cool dude. He and he's very like self deprecating, and he so he's not. It's not like he's like I'm a badass because I'm a
no
magician.
Chris Angel he's coming like, in here. Yeah, like, no, heartthrobby.
Because that's the thing is like Chris Angel tries to be all like I'm a badass. Yep. It's like none of us are badasses, Chris. Settle down. Like even David Copperfield takes it a little too serious, but Robbie's awesome. Great dude, funny dude, and a damn good magician. So it'll be cool. And he does like a lot of stuff, like tour wise and shows. And he's at I forget what it's called, but it's like a big old theater down in Galveston. So I'm going down on the 27th to check out the show.
Nick,
you
did you hear what I heard?
Oh my god,
isolated.
You're so childish.
Who I haven't isolated anything. I didn't say it. I just looked at you when you said it.
All I said is I'm going down to Galveston.
No, you paused.
Oh, my God. I can't work like this. I can't be positive. I can't be positive. I didn't even last to 2:30, and you're making me want to jump out that window.
Yeah, you exceeded expectations, actually.
2:30?
So, well done,
to get
sir.
This far?
Yes.
Speaking of Robbie, Robbie's actually the guy that hooked me up with this manager or potential manager that I'm talking to.
Okay.
And she's out of Memphis, and she manages him. So he was like, hey, do you have a manager? I was like, no. He's like, you need a manager, bro. You need, like, you're making stuff happen. You need to get you a manager, man. She's great. She handles all my stuff. She's getting my career, you know, skyrocketing. I was like, cool. So I talked to her, and it looks like we're going to do it. But here's the problem I'm at now. And maybe you can help me, Joel, or maybe the listeners can help me because I don't know how to do this stuff.
Okay.
I'm a good businessman. So I know that anytime you get presented with a contract, you should have it reviewed by a lawyer.
Indeed.
But I don't have a lawyer. And I don't have a ton of money to be giving a lawyer to stay on a retainer or anything. I need an entertainment lawyer to review this contract. So I did reach out to my buddy, Charles Adams. They call him Big Angry. He always does. He's Bun B's lawyer, and he always does Isaiah Factor, and he has his own radio show. Good dude. Really nice guy. And he said he would take a look at it, but he hasn't had a chance. He's busy. He's a judge. He's a lawyer. Like, this dude's got a lot of stuff going on. And I don't want to be the jerk that's like, hey, you're doing free stuff for me. Why don't you hurry and do free stuff for me? So I was like, don't worry about it.
I'm just going to pull that off. You can.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're really trying to make me not be positive, aren't you? Boy, you are really trying.
You're welcome.
But I was like, I just need to find some, like an entertainment lawyer that can just, it's like 10 pages, which Charles did say. He goes, man, that's a lot. Is that a lot?
Yeah, depending on the size of the deal, meaning from financials to the length of it, a lot of people cover their ass about 16 different ways.
I mean,
I always, you know, it's like when you talk about things like fine print, especially in the business like we're in, when you look at things like, you know, exclusivities and how that comes into play, and different things like that. The fine print.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, I saw, you know, I mean, obviously I can see some stuff where she says the term of the deal is 3 years plus 2 1-year renewals, which she even already said on the phone. She's like, I'm willing to go 2 years. We don't have to do three right off the bat. And, well, you know, we can each prove to each other and that we're, you know, that the working relationship is there. And but I did see where she's like, she wants 20%, and I felt like that was too high. Like, somebody told me it's only 10%. So I don't know. Some of that stuff I don't know. That's why I need to talk to somebody. I need to figure that out. So yeah. if you're listening, you're an entertainment lawyer, 713-780-3776, text me. Let me know.
It's like
somebody did say Lawyer Dave might be able to help. I didn't even think about that.
I thought about that, too, when you were just saying that just now.
I'll reach out to Lawyer Dave.
Brad was probably going to walk in here and say you should call Lawyer Dave.
I will reach out to Lawyer Dave, see if he knows.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
All right. First half of the show is in the books, in the rearview mirror. But the windshield is wide and big, and we've got lots to cover in the second half. Coming up next, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No, you don't tell me. Hello.
What's your nickname?
Welcome back. The Lawn Care Lion.
The Lawn Care Line.
And yeah, and Blank Juice.
Blank Juice.
Back at it.
Believe it!
Over there with...
So, Mr. Positivity, if you missed any of the first part of the show, Barry has said that he had a come-to-Jesus moment with himself while running, and he realizes that he should be more positive, and he wants to be more upbeat and happy.
Yeah. No, I just don't want to let the negativity weigh me down. That doesn't mean I'm not going to mess with you, Joel. That doesn't mean I'm not going to pick
Nick,
on you guys.
I need a ruling here because here's the deal.
There's a big difference.
So Courtney almost hit me in the parking lot the other day because she wasn't paying attention driving her car. So I told her and she's like, oh my God, I feel so sorry. I'm so sorry. And you know what Barry says? No, you shouldn't be sorry. You should hit his ass. You should have hit him. And I was like, what happened to the positivity
slight
thing?
Exaggeration? What are we saying?
Little bit?
No. I don't know. I'm asking. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it.
It was spot on.
Major exaggeration.
Spot on.
I literally just said, well, next time,
like
hit him.
Like Barry just did a milk commercial. Spot on.
Next time, hit him. That's all I did.
Oh, and he did not
and
say it like that.
Next time, hit him.
No. Oh, my God. And so we found out that, you know, it's like Scooter McGavin
This is what
Happy
I get for
Gilmore.
Trying to be positive.
It's a front.
It's not a front. There's a difference between picking on you and letting negative people get to me and force me to be negative.
You wished an accident on me.
I mean,
see?
I did.
See? It's just not nice.
There's a difference between not nice and being negative.
That's negative.
Oh my.
It's mean-spirited. You're supposed to be positive-spirited. I'm just saying.
You're really trying.
He's not going to stop, bro. That's Joel, though. When he's
role. I'm done.
He's done. He says he's done.
I'm
done. That's cool.
I'm trying to be positive, and here you are.
Sorry, Stewie. My bad.
Oh, man. I'm really trying. David said, dude, I'm sorry, Barry. I tried to go listen to 610. And they are literally breaking down what happened to Texas Shame training you, camp sir. Today. Yeah. I'm sorry I strayed. Hashtag please forgive me. It's like, I get it. You know, I mean, love should have brought you home, but that's okay.
Oh, my God.
You're here now.
Tony Braxton, you strayed. What are you doing?
You strayed. That's Boomerang, too. Don't.
It's from Boomerang, Tony Braxton.
I know, but okay. I'm saying.
Just tell him to get the mushroom belt, the mushroom shirt with the mushroom jacket. Be all right.
Got to coordinate.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, a couple texts. I felt like it's important that I read this. And I don't know why. I saved it from our discussion in the first hour where Nick got into it on the Twitters.
I thought it was going to be lawn talk.
No, that too. That's
normally the way you set it up.
No, but somebody said, I reported Lamont on Twitter.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Somebody said, yes, I'm that guy, but he used the F word as a slur. And when that gets thrown around, it bothers me because I have a few buddies who are gay.
Should be a lesson learned for some of you tweeters out there, man.
Yeah, there's some words that'll get you in trouble on the Twitterverse. So Mandy wants to know, how does she get a meter? That I don't know.
But we need to get her one.
Oh, boy, I tell you what.
Whichever way possible.
We'd be number one in the market if Mandy got one.
Yep. Sure.
She's awesome.
No She's always about listening.
It. Yep.
We'd beat the Blitz and the bench.
Houston media critics also listening because whoever they are, whatever name they go by, they are very upset because of your decision to not let the people know when it was time to call in, and they waited for it. The direct tweet was, what? You guys said you would announce it, and I waited for it.
We did announce it. We said 220.
Yeah.
You'll have more chances to win.
And it was way before 220, so even if you were on the super delayed stream,
yeah, you knew it was 220.
You should be good. So
I pay the price for that. So.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's fine.
Bro, are you about to start? Is that why you're so emotional today?
I thought I was the emotional one today.
Me too.
What? Me? You must start three times a month.
Well, that's my cycle, Joel. Maybe
boy, and our boy Clarence, he's trying hard.
We need to sync our periods up like best friends.
I know you're like a high school guy talking about classes that we need to take.
We need to.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody said, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but what do y'all make of Zeke not being on the team playing to training camp?
He wants to get paid.
That's what players do. I mean, that's the new, welcome to the new NFL.
The biggest problem you got is, unlike when you had Le'Veon Bell with 1 year left, he's got too much time left on his contract. The Cowboys are in the position of strength where he's got, I think, a year or two, and then he could still be franchised twice. So It's going to be interesting to see how Jerry Jones plays this, because we all know he's got contracts that are still out that he's got to get done. He's got to get Amari Cooper done. He's got to get Dak Prescott done. He's got Smith on the defensive side of the ball, amongst others. He's got people he's got to take care of. So I'm sure from a Cowboys perspective, they were hoping to delay having to deal with Zeke. But obviously, when you look at what it means to the Cowboys, as much as you can say Dak's good, Cooper was great since when they, I think they were like 7-1, 7-2 when they made the trade for him. But we all know the engine that makes that whole thing go is Zeke.
Yep.
So that's where his bargaining chip comes in.
The way the system is placed now, it gives star players that advantage. Until the NFL, in my opinion, gets involved in the next meetings and make a change as to when a player can or cannot back out, I think it's going to continue. But at the same time, do you want the NFL to get involved? Because isn't that a part of negotiation? The player's trying to get the best possible deal for himself. The team is trying to get the best contract for themselves. So I don't know if you really want the NFL to get involved, but it's going to continue like that until there's a change.
Well, like you said, I mean, I was reading something that said once the team gets to Oxnard, that they're going to sit down and start, they're going to kick off talks with Prescott and Cooper. So, you know, I'm sure Zeke is like, I want my money too, and that's fine, but you do need to prioritize this, even though the Cowboys are saying there is no pecking order, that we're not prioritizing this. You might want to. Yeah, now, the funny thing is if he doesn't show, he can sit out, but it's going to cost him $30,000 a day. And then I think a missed preseason game would cost him $226,000.
And, I mean, most teams are dealing
That's
with.
That's a big gamble.
We talked about Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. We know what the Texans are doing with Clowney. But the bottom line is they don't really start losing real money until game one. That's
well,
the big dollar.
But I was reading it said if he doesn't get there by August 6th and report, then he loses a year of service. That's a big gamble. So it may be that he's just saying, look, he's doing it to say, I'll get there on my own. I'm going to skip one day, 30K, but I'm just showing you that I mean business, that this is important.
It'll be interesting.
Because I ain't losing that much money on it.
Well, and you would
be counterproductive.
You know, that's when you start questioning, did the Le'Veon Bell situation change the way guys handle these things, thinking that they are going to recoup it on the back end? There's ways that you know, that they can still force the issue. Because, look, a lot of people, and I was watching this morning, too, where this whole topic was consuming GetUp. And when they were talking about it, the one thing that they did say was, you know, when you look at the Le'Veon Bell situation, they weren't able to recoup what they thought they were going to be able to. And everybody's looking for the position of power. But one thing that a lot of guys were pushing were, well, and his off the field stuff has deterred from this whole situation and made the Cowboys less likely to. If there's two owners in this league that don't give a rat's ass about what they do off the field, it's what they do on the field. It's Jerry Jones and it's Davis with the Raiders.
I agree, but okay. If you're smart, if you're, you know, if you're trying to negotiate from a position
of strength. From a Cowboys perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to use that as part of the negotiation to say, look, man, we just need you to get your stuff together. We need you to go through a couple of clean off seasons.
Or show me you can do it this year.
Yeah.
For a full year.
And show me that you're not going to get in trouble again. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. You have had some off the field issues. So we're willing to invest in you, but I just need you to make it 24 months without any problems.
And, you know, the counter to that is that, sure, we could go do that, but if I get hurt, guarantee me either I'm going to get the money or, you know, give me some guarantees.
Yeah.
If I do that.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Definitely will. It's going to be an interesting situation because, like I said, across the league, there are several of these situations that are going to play out that could affect a lot in the way these teams play this year, because the Cowboys with Zeke, a lot of people think can compete for a Super Bowl. Yeah. And without Zeke, it's a totally different ballgame. Just like Melvin Gordon, who might not be as impactful for the Chargers, but still is better than anybody they have on that roster at running back.
So speaking of that, Noah sent us a text. He said, if you're the Texans with the cap space you have, would you try to make this scenario happen? Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Go get Melvin Gordon this year while he's cheap, then see how he does this year and decide if you want to extend him. Get Mike Daniels to stack the D-line and possibly get him for around $13 to $15 million, and then try to get Trent Williams since he's holding out and get some protection for Deshaun Watson.
Normally, don't you have a rule about how long a text can be without you reading it?
Well, Noah, here's the problem, bro. Like, that's a lot of moving parts, and the reason why Melvin Gordon doesn't want to do anything is because he doesn't have a long-term deal, and because the people are trying to
the Chargers are wanting to do it on the cheap without having a new deal in place.
So he doesn't want to go a year and then let a team decide his future. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true. Well, Williams was a little bit different because he doesn't like the medical staff for the Redskins, and Mike Daniels, yeah, I would look at that, but that's not even a position of need right now. So spending money
Packers
for no reason.
Packers cut him, make an eight. You could probably get him for less than that.
But I would rather spend the money on the offense.
Like we said yesterday, and you were the first to bring it up. Look, between corners and offensive line, that's where your positions of need are. You got to address things that way first.
Yeah. So I get it. Texans fans want to see this team spend some of that money. But don't forget, the other side of that is, Noah, that they've got a lot of money that they're going to owe guys that are coming due. So you got to make a decision on Clowney. Watson, Watt, Hopkins, these are all guys that are going to have to get paid. So
yep,
got some of that cap space. You better set it aside for some of those cats.
No doubt about it. There's teams with needs, and there's teams that have a lot of mouths to feed with a lot of contracts coming up. We mentioned the Cowboys, the Texans. There are others as well. But camp getting fully underway for more than half the teams in the NFL as we're getting closer and closer to football, and that's always a good thing. We're going through hour number two of the three-hour show. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Okay, we're back. flying through our number 2 3-hour show with Barry, Nick, and Joel, as usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Kicking around a little football talk as we get into training camp for all these different teams. Did you see this? Earl Thomas, the one-time defensive back at the University of Texas, the Legion of Boom leader from the Seahawks. Now that he's under contract with the Ravens, he did a sit-down interview with ESPN talking about everything that he's been through leading up to this point and getting this contract from the Ravens. And the one thing I think everybody remembers is the fact that when he had the season-ending injury last year and they were taking him off on a cart, that he flipped off what looked like his entire sideline on the way off the field, even though players from both sides were coming over to give condolences and everything like that. And he clarified and said, look, I gave it to Pete Carroll, and when given the opportunity to say, hey, if I had things to do over again, I would do it differently, he absolutely did not back off from everything that he did.
Why are you no longer in Seattle?
Well, it's a business at the end of the day. I think my time just ran out. You know, Pete and the front office, they didn't value me, I guess, like they used to. And I had just talked to Coach Carroll. He was saying how he was trying to get me in the plans of getting a new contract. But I got hurt the next week, and I think I hurt myself too, you know, by my actions, getting Carter off the field.
What do you mean by that?
You know, I gave Pete, you know, the middle finger. Because I feel like he wasn't being honest with me.
What was going through your mind when they were carting you off the field and you were hurt?
Yeah, I was basically talking to Pete because I knew what happened because I've been through it before. I knew it was broke. Like when Pete came trying to like act like he, you know, concerned, I was like, you won, bro. Like, you know, just kept it moving.
So at the time that you gave him the dirty bird, he said nothing?
No, we haven't spoken.
Do you regret giving Pete Carroll the dirty bird?
I don't regret my decision. If my teammates felt like it was towards them, I regret that part. But I don't regret doing it to Pete.
Why are you not?
So basically what you're hearing there is exactly what we were just talking about, Barry, with all these different situations. At the end of the day, you want to expect loyalty from a franchise that you've given your blood, sweat, and tears to. And you expect that something could be worked out amicably. But more, we say this more and more in every sport we cover and everything we talk about. At the end of the day, it's a business.
It is a business, and you've still got to go out and play. You can't be like, well, I'm going to sit out until I get, you know, a contract extension or get a deal done or whatever. I mean, you can.
I mean, we're talking about guys that are still doing it.
You can, but you also know that there's a risk in this game, and you can't predict injuries. And that's kind of the point I was trying to make is you have two choices. You either play and take Pete Carroll at his word that he's going to work on getting you a contract, or you sit out. And, you know, he chose to play, and he got hurt, and Pete Carroll had nothing to do with the actual injury. If he would have come down and said, hey, Pete, I feel like my ankle's messed up, and I probably shouldn't be playing.
But don't you remember? He said he wasn't going to practice. He said he was going to do some things that were kind of detrimental from a team standpoint to if you're trying to win this year. That he was just essentially already like so looking out for himself that he was going to put the team's needs aside to say, hey, look, I may not practice, and then I may or may not play on Sundays and things like that. And then,
but he still chose to play. What I'm saying is this: if it's to me, it's different. If he says, man, something's like wrong with my ankle, and then they're like, no, it's okay, and then he snaps
like
his ankle
Kevin
in the
Durant
game.
Thing when you come back and
right, and then he snaps his ankle in the game. Then you give the coach and everybody the finger on the way out and say, I told y'all, but you said to play.
But wait a
minute. In this case, he's still had the choice to play or not, and it was just a freak accident.
But you make the choice because you're being told by that head coach, that's a big part of the front office of the organization too, that, hey, we're working towards getting you a new contract. So you think, you know what, this is my squad, this is my team. I'm loyal to these guys, they're loyal to me. I've put a lot of work in here, and I want to keep this team winning this year. So I'm going out there because coach told me they're working on a new deal.
Do you have any reason to believe that none of that was the case? I mean, they can't help it. He got hurt. Whose fault is that? It's nobody's. It's not his. It's not Pete Carroll's. It's not the front office's. That's football. Injuries happen. And the only way to avoid that is to not play.
But I'm saying
he still
understand
made the decision.
That's why he...
I understand why he's frustrated. And I understand why he gave him the finger.
That's what I'm saying.
I would have been the same way. I would absolutely
and then because
give him
you
the
know,
whole sideline
inevitably,
the finger.
Regardless of whether they were being up front or not at the time, you know once a player gets injured, all bets
that was
are
it.
Off.
That was
it's
it.
Like the Barkley injury with the Rockets.
That's right.
They had promised him his next deal was going to be a big deal, and then he got hurt, and they were like, well, you know, we're sorry.
That's it. I mean, it is a business. And at the end of the day, if something happens to you and you get injured and you become a risk to a football team, they're going to make decisions in the best interest of the team.
Yeah.
So you know that going in.
I agree with that. I just think that, again, there's a lot of people, and there's still players out there that believe the loyalty card is real, and that, you know, if you've given all of this time and effort and had great results for a team, that they're going to take care of you. And you know what? There are some teams that are that way. It's like the old Eddie DeBartolo 49ers. They always took care of their own and made it like a family. But those are few and far between these days. It's not that way anymore. And it's all about what have you done for me lately. And it's all about, you know, moving on to the cheaper, better deal. Because as we said, at the end of the day, and we've had NFL players in here that have told us that as much when it shocked me the first time I heard it. If you think every franchise is focused on winning, you're out of your mind. As long as they're making money, and they're making it money the way they're making it in the NFL, that's the most important thing. And if they can get someone else in for cheaper that can do about the same duties and responsibilities and carry it out the same way, they're going to make that move 9 times out of 10.
Well, and the crazy thing is, it's going to be interesting to find out, because now Seattle chose not to spend the money on him. Mm-hmm. He chose to go somewhere else and get a better deal, or what he thought was going to be a better deal. He still didn't get his market value. Not. I mean, they got the Ravens got a deal on him.
Everybody thought he was going to the Cowboys, but because of what we talked about earlier and all the financial cap strap things that they're dealing with, while the players that are up, they couldn't afford to bring him in either.
He got a 4-year, $55 million deal. He probably could have gotten $14 million a year, but he didn't.
You look at the going rate and what everybody's signing with, and yeah, safeties are getting $14-15 a year now.
And he absolutely could have got that. And I know he's 30, but that doesn't matter. But the crazy thing is, when you look at the breakdown of the cap for Seattle, they've spent the least amount of money of anybody on the secondary. They are 32nd in the league in secondary spending. So it was obvious that Seattle made a decision that we're going to get younger, we're going to get cheaper in the secondary. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and, you know, that's, again, it's amazing when you look at what Seattle was even able to do last year. Because remember, they gutted the offense last year too. And they tried to bare bones it with Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson and, you know, running back by committee. And they were still in it. I mean, they stayed relevant because of one guy, because of Russell Wilson. And, you know, they gave Russell Wilson money and got him a new contract. But did they put anybody, to your point, did they put anybody around him on either side of the ball? They drafted some people, but they really didn't spend any cash.
They have $17 million invested in their secondary. And Earl Thomas is going to earn, what, he's going to get his base salary is $2 million this year. He's got the $5 million signing bonus. Next year, he'll get 10 base and then a $5 million signing bonus. So he'll be,
you look at what
he'll make 15.
Honey Badger signed with the Chiefs. I mean, you know, yesterday.
But these two, they went polar opposites. Like, yeah. Seattle spent no money and he chased it. It just wasn't going
to
happen.
But even chasing it, again, if he doesn't get hurt, to your point earlier, too, you know, Kevin Byard just signed the richest deal for a safety in the NFL. 5 years and $70.5 million with the Titans.
Crazy.
And everyone knows Earl Thomas, when healthy, is one of the best, well, I'll just say one of the top three safeties in this game.
I agree.
So, he lost some cash in that deal as well. All right, we've got 2 hours in the books. We've got an hour still to go. 60 minutes on the clock when we return, and we'll take you through all the way till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. All you got to do is keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.